Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
How many of that life can be chaotic? Sometimes life, things happen that you didn't plan on happening. Right? Things happen to you. Things happen around you that were not on your radar. Today I want to share a message with you simply entitled, Out of Order. How many of you have ever seen a sign that said out of order? The moment you see that sign, you know life is about to be uh-oh. Right? If you come to an elevator, it means you got to take the stairs. You go to a Coke machine, that's horrible because now it means you got to drink a Pepsi. Right? And if you work for Pepsi, Cola, I apologize. If you're in desperate need of a men's room or a ladies' room and you see that sign, man, it's bad. No one sees a sign that says out of order and says, yes, that's what I've been looking for, is something broken. One more broken thing in my life is just what I need. Hallelujah. Right? None of us have that response. And sometimes that mindset sort of carries over to what we think about when things happen in our life that are out of order. Oftentimes we think if things in my life are out of order, then I must be out of step with the Lord. Or we think that maybe the Lord has forgotten me and I was trying to serve Him, but things aren't going right. And so if my life is out of order, what does that mean? Well, I want to read, there's two main scriptures I want to read to you this morning. Here's the first one. In Psalms chapter 37, verse number 23, it says this, "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." So this verse speaks to the fact that God brings a certain order to our life. Now, let me just ask you, how many in this room, you are a neat freak? Okay, only like six of you. Let me try it this way. How many of you are married or live with a neat freak? Yeah, there's more of those hands. That's what I thought. And some of you are too afraid to lift your hands. You know, we all like things in order to different extents. You know, I have a three-year-old, and my three-year-old, she loves things in order. The other night, I went to go tuck her in for bed, and I was going to crawl up and read a story to her. So I kicked my shoes off not to bring my shoes up in her bed. But I couldn't even start the story. I was like, you know, I started reading the first page, and she said, Daddy. I said, yeah. She goes, take your shoes when you leave. She didn't want my shoes spending the night in her room. She likes order, and all of us like order. But let me just ask you this question. If this scripture is true, which we believe it is because it's in God's word, and according to Timothy, all of scripture is true and used for our lives for correction and to make us profitable into the kingdom. And so if our steps are ordered by the Lord, is it possible? Here's a huge question of the day that I want you to answer, at least internally today. Is it possible that God's ordered steps for our life can seem out of order to us? Let me ask that again. Is it possible that God's ordered steps for your life can seem out of order to you in the moments you're walking through them? And if I look at the Word of God as a just skim over the top of it, I have to answer yes, that sometimes God's ordered steps for you and for me may seem completely out of order, which is the name of our sermon today, may seem completely out of order to me. I mean, if you look through the Old Testament, you can see a guy like Naaman, who the Lord, you know, commanded to the prophet to go dip in the river seven times, and he didn't want to do that. That seemed out of order. He said, there's better reasons, or there's better rivers in a different place. You know, Joshua was told to conquer the city of Jericho, and the Lord said, well, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to pick up your javelin or your spear or your swords. Instead, I want you to pick up some trumpets, and I want you to march around it for 7 days. And if things have to make sense, then Joshua's not marching. If things have to be in order, then the blessing of God is on Ishmael and not Isaac. The blessing of God is on Esau and not Jacob. If the things of God have to be in order, there is no way that Joseph is marrying Mary. if things have to be in order, right? There's no way Peter's walking along, walking away from his career as a fisherman. But here's what I want you to go home with today. If you just remember one sentence out of my sermon today, here's a sermon and a sentence this morning. Your steps are ordered by God, even when they seem out of order to you. I will say that again this morning. Your steps are ordered by God, even when they seem out of order to you. I believe that this morning. That there's moments in my life when I look around and I say, Lord, I don't see any purpose. I don't see any alignment to this step. I don't know why you have me through this process, but here's what I know. If I'm going through something, even though I can't make sense of it and I don't know the order, it doesn't mean it's out of order or it's out of step with God. Here's the thing. God's not really concerned about making our life into a perfect order for us, as much as he is concerned about keeping us in step with him. Does that make sense? So today I want to talk to you real quickly about what do I do when my life seems out of order. And there's one more scripture I want to read to you. It may catch you sort of off guard. You may think, what in the world is he talking about now? But here we go. Proverbs chapter 14. Here's the second scripture we're going to talk about most this morning. It's this. It says, where there is no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of an ox. Now, read that scripture. Where there's no ox in the manger, there's no ox in the stable, it's clean. In other words, can I rephrase that? Where there's no ox in the barn, let's put it in Arkansas vernacular, where there's no animals in the barn, it's much more orderly. I don't know if you've ever had a job working on a farm or in a barn. That's not, you know, what the world all of us grew up in. But if you ever had a job working in a barn, you might have this thought. If we could just get rid of this stinking ox, life would be much easier. If we didn't have this ox stuck in our barn, then, excuse my language for just a minute, but if we didn't have this ox stuck in here, we wouldn't have all this poop to scoop. Right? We wouldn't have all this straw to pick up. We wouldn't have all this stuff to sweep out every day. If your job is to keep the barn clean, you might think if we could just get rid of this big ox, life would be a lot easier. But the rest of that scripture says, but if you get rid of the ox, you're getting rid of your harvest. You're getting rid of the strength he brings to your life. And sometimes, here's what I'm getting at. Sometimes we can value things being in order so much that we try to eradicate anything that brings chaos, and we try to eradicate anything that brings trouble, and we try to eradicate anything that's not easy, and anything that doesn't feel good, and anything that requires effort, and if it requires any discipline at all, let's just get rid of that, because my focus is for life to always be easy. And the Word of God says, listen, if you're not careful, you might get rid of the things that are actually bringing the blessing of God and the profitability of God to your life today. So don't be overwhelmed by the junk in your life, and don't be convinced that just because something is messy, it must be out of God's will for you. Now, I hope you've picked up, I'm talking about a whole lot more than just an ox and a barn this morning. I'm talking about our lives today. And so what do I do when God's ordered steps seem out of order to me? I want to give you two or three things to work on this morning, what the Lord's been working on me. Here's the first thing. When life seems out of order, point number one, realize that order might be overrated. Now, some of you guys that raised your hand a few minutes ago, or girls that raised your hand again a few minutes ago, and you said, I'm married to a neat freak, and she drives me crazy sometimes. This is your chance to shout hallelujah, right? Sometimes order might be overrated. It might be that being orderly isn't as attractive as it should be. I understand that, you know, if you look at the scripture, where there is no ox, the barn is clean. Some of us, we like to appear that we have all of our stuff together, right? I mean, most of you, when you post a picture on Facebook, you don't just take a picture and post it, right? You take 725 pictures and you post the best one. Because there's 724 of them where you had one hair going sideways and she wasn't smiling or the baby wasn't looking the right way. And you want everything to look perfect when you know good and well that picture does not represent your family. Right? There's no way. It was actually a miracle from God that your child was looking at the camera when you snapped the photo. The truth is, your family is like mine. We're completely out of whack. And we can't get anything straight. It takes us 20 minutes to get to church sometimes. We live two blocks away. I mean, life can be disorder. But we want, as far as everyone knows, we want it to look orderly. And we can be so fixated on looking orderly that we drive ourselves crazy. And I just want to tell you, it could be that order may be overrated, because here's a few reasons I say that. God's ordered steps may bring disorder to your life that reorders your life. Some of these points this morning are going to be kind of long, but just stick with me. Sometimes the Lord allows strategic disorder to come into your life so that he can reorder things according to his purpose. There's an interesting account in the Word of God where Peter receives this vision from the Lord. And, he's hungry. So he could have just played it off that it was a dream about food because he was hungry. But he was upstairs and the Lord gave him this vision of all this food that came down on this cloth from heaven. And the voice in the vision said, "Peter, get up and eat this stuff." And Peter said, "Listen, this is unclean food, right? This is like, stuff they weren't supposed to eat." And Peter said, "I'm not going to eat that. That would be out of order." And the Lord said, "Don't call anything unclean that I've called clean. Get up and eat." And Peter gets up and eats it. And the moment he does, he's got another problem, because now that things are in order between him and God, now things are out of order between him and people. Let me just tell you, if you have a choice between keeping things straight between you and God or things straight between you and people, I would challenge you to choose God every single time, because sometimes he's going to bring disorder so that he can reorder your life accordingly. See, sometimes we get life just the way we like it, but it's not the way that God likes it. We get things perfectly in line, but what God says should be first might be number three or number seven or not on the list at all. And so God brings disorder so that we can reorder things according to his plan and his purpose. Here's the second reason order might seem a little bit out of order, why it might be overrated. The second one this morning is that though God orders our steps, you have to walk it out. I said, you got to walk it out. You can pull up Google Maps on your cell phone this morning, and you can bring up directions or ordered steps. Matter of fact, most of those Google Maps will give you, they'll ask you, are you walking or are you driving? And you can tell it, well, I'm actually walking. And it will tell you exactly how to walk from here to Timbuktu or here to wherever you want to go. And you can have an ordered steps. And sometimes we get that. We say, well, look, on the map, it looks so easy. You go from point A to point B just like this. But friends, how many know that it's different from looking at that ordered steps on a map than actually having to walk it out? Amen. Sometimes the chaos and the confusion and the disorder comes from our life simply because God told us, listen, I'm going to do something to your life. But in the process of you walking out what God said he wants you to do, you figured out, I've got to walk out these steps. And sometimes walking can wear you out. But I want to tell you, keep on following the Lord. Keep on walking out the steps that God puts before you. Does God order our steps? Absolutely. But you and I have to walk them out. And it's in the walking out the orders of God where our steps get hard. There's a man in the book of Acts named Ananias who was praying. And the Lord spoke to him. It might, I wouldn't be surprised if he just stopped praying, because the Lord told him something he didn't want to hear. He said, I want you to go pray for this guy whose name is Saul, who's blind and can't see. And of course, he responds by saying, well, Lord, you know he has a reputation of killing people. He had a ringside seat when they killed this other guy named Stephen, who was a deacon in one of the first churches. And the Lord said, I want you to go over there and pray for him. Now, how many of you would just be honest enough to confess, if the Lord told you to go pray for someone who's in the habit of killing Christians, how many of you that would bring a little bit of disorder to your life? And now here's the complication. He's got a decision. Am I going to keep my life simple, or am I going to walk out these ordered steps? Because walking out these ordered steps might bring some disorder to my life. And so if your only goal in life is to have everything neat and orderly and easy, then friends, you may miss out on some of God's perfect plans and purposes for your life. You know, it's summertime. Summertime allows me to do things I normally don't do. Like, I have probably consumed more lemonade in the last 2 weeks that I have consumed in the last 11 months, because it's the time of the year. You know, it's 127 degrees outside. Not exactly, but, you know, it feels like it. And so, you know, a cool glass of lemonade sounds good. But how do you know step one of lemonade, making lemonade, is what? You put water in a bucket. Step two is you pour the stuff in. What's step three? You got to stir it or you got to shake it. Sometimes, in order for God to produce in us what needs to be produced, in order for us to truly have the flavor of the Lord in our lives, it's not just enough for us to have Him in our lives. We have to allow Him to shake us a little bit, and He shakes us, and it brings disorder. But it's that disorder that brings the flavor of God out in our lives. Amen? So walk out. Walk out those ordered steps of God, even if it seems like it's bringing disorder to your life. Because I'll just tell you, God's commands, steps of faith, often require us to take steps that look like they're going to invite disorder before they bring God's order to our life. Here's the second thing, is don't get fixated. What do I do when life is out of order? What do I do when life is not going the right way? Here's point two. Don't get fixated on the things that seem out of order. Okay? Where there's no ox in the manger, it's clean. You can get so fixated on keeping something clean. You can get so fixated on the junk. You can get so fixated on the disorder that you just convince yourself that I can't see anything. All I see is what is wrong. And you don't see the abundant harvest that is possible through the strength of what you're dealing with. Listen, there's been times in my life. I know you're more spiritual than I am, so you don't have moments like this. But there's been moments in my life where I was so fixated on what was wrong, I couldn't see the good things that God was doing. That happens. I've actually had people come and tell me, you know, Pastor, I'm so excited about what God is doing in my life. And I'm so excited about what God is doing in the church. And it's like it comes in one ear and it goes out the other, because I'm just focused on this one thing. This one 99 cent problem that's not right. You know? It is so possible for us to walk into a service like this when you know, Kate starts singing that last song. I don't even know the name of it, but I just know when we began to sing that last song, I wasn't singing along. I was just speechless in the presence of God. I couldn't even join in the congregation and singing that. I just felt the presence of the Lord so real. But sometimes it is possible to be in an atmosphere just like that, and you don't have a clue about anything because you're just fixated on what you got going on tomorrow, what's going on in your family. You're so fixated on what's not right that you can't even sense what God is doing in you and around you. So when life gets out of order, don't get fixated on just the disorder stuff in your life. One of the tricks the enemy does is he gets us fixated on the wrong thing. Well, what's the solution to that? The solution is Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. It's very simple instruction where the Lord says this: fix your eyes on Jesus. Glory. What do I do when the stuff that is out of order is blinding me to the ordered steps that I know that God has for me. Here's what you do. You fix your eyes on Jesus. I was reading the scripture and it came, brought back to my attention this song that Megan's playing that I don't know if you've sung before. We used to sing it all the time in church. It simply says this, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? Look full in his wonderful face, and then the things of earth, all this other disorder, will grow strangely dim. Let me ask you, what do you see clearly more today? The stuff that is disordered or the face of Jesus? If what you are fixated on more is the things that are disordered, I would challenge you to do what this song says this morning. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Now don't worry. Amen? Do that this morning. Amen. Now listen, don't worry. I'm not done preaching. But I want to take just a moment for us to do that. So Megan, would you sing this? If you know the song, why don't you just close your eyes this morning? If you don't know the song, just bow your head and close your eyes. But if you do know it, why don't you close your eyes and just join us in singing this song this morning before we finish the message.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face.
Psalms 119, the psalmist says this, Lord, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in all that I do. This morning, when you are so fixated on the disorder that surrounds you, I would challenge you, remember this song and remember what the scripture says, turn your eyes away from the worthless things and turn your eyes to the Lord, because the more you focus on him, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, it's amazing, you know, how much perspective we gain in the things around us. If your life seems to be overwhelmed by the things that are out of order this morning, I want to ask you three questions today. Here's the first order. Is the disorder in your life blocking the joy that's in your life? Sometimes the greatest gifts of God will actually create some disorder in your life, right? You have kids, right? If you have kids that live in your house, chances are your house is not as clean today as it was before you had kids, right? There's things that get scattered that used to didn't get scattered, right? You clean it one day and 5 minutes later, boom, junk is everywhere. And I know you're too spiritual, but for me, sometimes I can lose my joy because of all the junk I see. But remember, the junk, say this with me, the junk is worth the joy. Amen? So don't let the disorder blind you to the ordered steps of God. Some of you in this room, you're married. You've been married for more than 10 minutes. And, you know, 10 minutes ago, when you said, I do, you love the way he made you laugh. 40 years later, you think, would he please just take something serious? Right? He hasn't changed. It's just that the junk that came with him Some of you guys, when you started dating her, she was so beautiful. You thought it didn't matter what she does. She's just so beautiful. Nothing in the world could ever bother me. But then you got married. And you figured out it takes 2 hours and 27 minutes to get her that good looking. And that disorders your life. You want to get up and go. And it takes her a while. And that disorder can blind you to the joy that really you still have because she's just as beautiful today as she was 27 years ago. And all the guys say, amen. The rest of you better find somewhere else to sleep tonight if you didn't say amen to that. But don't let the joy be blocked by the disorder. Secondly, here's the second question. Is the junk in your life blocking your view of the opportunity? I mentioned toys a few minutes ago. You know, I'm just carnal enough that I've had a few seconds where I walk in and I those wooden blocks that kids play with? Have you ever stepped on one of those things barefooted? I mean, you'll find out real quickly how sanctified you really are by what comes out of your mouth the moment you step on that thing. And there's been a moment or two when that's happened to me and I thought, Lord, how long until they're old enough where they pick up all their junk and this doesn't happen? But, you know, then he slaps me around and realizes, you know what, these toys that you're tripping over actually represent an opportunity you have right now that you'll never have again in your life. Amen? That's to sow the word of God and sow the love of Jesus into these two daughters I have. Some of you right now, some of the junk you are cursing actually represents the opportunity that God has blessed you with. There's people that you think, man, these people, they bring so much disorder. If they were out of my life, life would be so much better. But it might be those people you've been trying to pray away that actually represents the people God wants you to reach. Oops. Right? And then here's the last question. Does the junk represent something you have left undone? You know, the worst junk in our life is not the junk that other people have caused us. I mean, if someone causes some disorder in my life, I can get mad at them and get over it. But the stuff that really bothers me day after day is the disorder that I created myself. And sometimes the disorder in our life represents some stuff that the Lord spoke to us about that we just haven't dealt with. And if that's true for you this morning, hey, just respond to the word of God. Third, this morning, what do I do when my life seems out of order? Realize that the greatest opportunities, say this with me today, my greatest opportunities. My greatest opportunities may come wrapped in circumstances that seem completely out of order. Many of the greatest circumstances in life are circumstances that came disguised as hard work and things that you'd rather get away from. Some of the greatest things that God's going to do in your life are going to start off as things you would rather run away from, things you'd rather stay away from. They're going to come disguised as problems. But listen, friends, sometimes God's ordered steps come as problems of disorder so that you can bring God's order to them. Amen? So if you're going to run away from everything that ever seems disordered, you might find yourself running away from the very things that God has called you to. You know, in the Old Testament, you look at the book of Exodus, you find the story of Moses trying to lead the people into the promised land. And of course, it continues in Joshua. And there's this particular day when Joshua and Caleb, you know, they have this attitude, we can do what God says we can do. Everyone else says, no, you can't. Comes to find out, Joshua and Caleb were right. Took them 40 years later, but 40 years later, the Lord let them go in. But even when the Lord let them go in, have you ever caught the scripture that the Lord says to them when he says, but I'm not going to let you take all of the land right now? You're going to have to take it section by section. And you're going to have to let some of your enemies, listen to this, you're going to have to let some of your enemies live among you for a season. Because if you wiped them all out today, here's what the Bible says, the land would overtake you. What does that mean? That means the wild animals and all this stuff, they would become so numerous that it would wipe out the people of God. And so the Lord actually tells them, I want you to let your enemies live around you for a season. Now, if your enemy is your next door neighbor, how many know that creates some tension? That creates some disorder. And the Lord strategically allows them to have this disorder and this tension in their life. But the tension and the disorder is working something out for them. Listen, many of us want a tension-free life. But I want to remind you today that tension is what holds up a lot of the biggest bridges in our world today. Amen. Tension is what it requires to propel a slingshot, to propel a stone out of a slingshot. Tension in our life is not always something to be eradicated. Sometimes it's something that God uses us to propel us into everything He wants us to accomplish for Him. And here's the last thing this morning. If your life seems out of order, Megan, if you want to come. If your life seems out of order today, I would challenge you, number four, to not compare your steps to someone else's steps. Proverbs chapter 4 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Some of the disorder in our life only comes because we compare our life to someone else's life. You saw someone else get promoted, so you think, well, I should get promoted. You saw someone else get blessed, and you think, well, I should be blessed. You see someone else get to do something, you think, well, I should get to do that. But friends, God does have ordered steps for you, but that does not mean that your ordered steps are going to match someone else's ordered steps. And when you try to make your life match someone else's life, all of a sudden what you're doing is you're letting that person's life order your steps instead of God ordering your steps. How much of our life would be so much better if we just compared ourselves to what the Lord has instead of what someone else has for us? Amen? Here's my final scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, not that we dare classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, for when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Anytime you and I compare our life, our steps, to someone else, we lose every time. Matter of fact, two people lose when you compare yourself. You lose and they lose. Because you start either putting them down or you start putting yourself down. That's what happens. And when your life is out of order, a lot of that disorder can be resolved when you do the scripture says, you fix your gaze forward. You understand, my steps aren't going to look like someone else's. The only steps mine are supposed to mimic is the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only steps I'm supposed to mimic. And there were some steps that Jesus took that looked out of order, but they were in the perfect plan of God. I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning as I get ready to pray for us today. I want to just remind you that ordered steps sometimes feel out of order. And just because your life seems out of order does not mean that you're out of touch. Just because your life seems out of order does not mean that you're out of the will of God. Just because your life seems out of order does not mean that you're out of the care of God. It doesn't mean you're out of the power of God. It doesn't mean that you're out of the ability of God to come in and do what needs to be done. Just because your life is out of order does not mean that you are out of God's hands today. He can use the disorder to reorder our lives according to His plan.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast. We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.